Hello and welcome to another episode of Honest to a Malt with myself, Duncan Donuts, and Mike, aka Two Puds. And this week we've got a special guest. He is the gaffer of Blind Drams, a Loch Lomond fanboy, a recovering spreadsheet addict who is taking it one day at a time. Brian, aka Malt Musings, welcome.
Thank you, lads. Great to be on.
Right. We have talked about you more than we have whiskey.
Anyone else?
I know you have. I listen every time and think, shut up.
So we'll see if we still talk about you after this episode.
Our biggest critic, and also I'd like to think our biggest fan.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
On your Sunday journeys. But yeah, I mean, so we both do Blind Drams with you, don't we, which you've been doing now for a long time.
Yeah, it's coming on for 4 years I think now. Blind Drams has been going, but before that there was another one called Blind Tastings that went for about 4 years before that as well. So, yeah, been going a long time.
Yeah.
The original, the OG.
The OG.
Yeah, the OG, yeah. That means something gangster, right? Original gangster. Yeah. Well, I love it. I love Blind Drams. I've really enjoyed it since I started joining him, which has only been about 20-ish, I think I've done now, something like that. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's good fun. We're up to 42 is the next one.
It's the answer.
Everybody puts £35 in. Somebody gets a chance to go and spend £900 on 10 bottles of whiskey, sends them out to us all blind, and we give them a try. It's good fun.
Yeah, yeah, sounds good. So, Brian, what's been in your glass and what's been up your arse?
Well, I think there's only been one thing in my glass this week, and that's obviously the new Loch Lomond Distillery Edition 5, 8-year-old Chardonnay wine yeast. For me, it's the best spirit they produce. Inchmarin spirit with Chardonnay wine yeast. Gorgeous.
I'd agree. Hands down.
It's very good. What do you actually, what are your thoughts on it compared to the other? Exclude the peated one, because Distillery Edition number 2 was peated, but 1, 3, and 4 are all the same kind of ballpark, non-peated, for me.
Yeah, they're all different. Obviously, one was a Chardonnay wine yeast like this.
Number 1, yeah.
And for those who haven't tried it, Chardonnay wine yeast gives you this sort of effervescence on the tongue, like this fizz, like the old Fizzer sweets, which is just really, really good. That was probably my favourite of the 5 so far, although I've only just cracked this bottle open. I've had 4 or 5 glasses, so reserving judgment for now. I really like the blend that they did as well, the single blend. So there's not many distilleries capable of doing single blends.
Which number was that?
I just thought that was really tasty. That was... Oh, it's forgotten now. We need to put a...
Was that 3 then?
Do we need to do the computer spreadsheet noise?
A few moments later.
Dial-up internet sound.
I'll just say, so Distillery Edition number 5 for me, I think Michael's taste notes are spot on. The thing that I thought was that the minerality on it, so this is an 8-year-old Chardonnay wine yeast. There's something else in there as well, though, Brian. It's not just Chardonnay wine yeast. The minerality continues from the nose all the way through to the end. Yeah. I kind of got like a chalkiness. So what I really liked about it is he said like limestone or something like that. The point is the chalkiness and the minerality that continues through makes it a lot more interesting. And it makes you go hunting for those flavors, whatever you're getting. And that makes it a much more interesting dram when the flavors just bam in your face, right?
As a kid, I always wanted to eat candles.
Right.
So, you know, like the normal candle, no scent, just candle wax. Loved that smell. And I get old candle in this as well.
Old candle.
Yeah, so it's on that limestoney, chalky type note, but it's just a bit more, it's hard to say really, a bit more waxy. But it's not like a bee wax or anything like that. It's specific old candles, just cheap candles. Yeah, in the background amongst all those tropical fruits. And
It's quite pungent on the nose, isn't it? It's quite a hit.
As Mike said, the tropical fruit comes through. I think it starts orchardy really on the nose and then goes... tropical on the palate, and that's just typical of your Inchmarin, isn't it? Gorgeous stuff.
Inchmarin 12 is my favorite of the 12s. I think it was Michael that when he was on came on the pod said it was his favorite, and so this isn't because of what Michael said, just to be clear, but having tried them all again, he might have a point. Right, the man might have a point.
If you can get hold of a single cask version of Inchmarin, they're really, really good.
Yeah,
and then you put Chardonnay wine yeast into it, and then that's just top.
Yeah, I love. There's like a good spice on there as well. So it's not like it's not burny ginger spice. Don't know what quite a spice it is. Wood spice maybe. Don't know. But like I said, Duncan, you're quite spice sensitive.
No,
I think it's like a good level. Yeah,
it's a good spice. It doesn't because it's not overpowering. It's complementary. So it's only a slight spice. But what happens is the fruitiness comes, then you get a bit of spice, then the fruitiness just comes building through to the finish. just keeps going. And then you get the honey coming in at the end. So for me, this is the third or fourth glass I've had of this. I did give a sample to Maria to try, and she confirmed that it was nice.
Good tasting.
She then came back from a different room and went, "That's actually lovely."
Wow.
To be honest, my wife tried this as well, and she really liked it. And she doesn't usually drink whiskey at all.
So. She did say pineapple, though, but it's just very tropical, isn't it? The fruits. There's a lot of different tropical fruits going on in it.
Maybe that could be on their advertising. Maria, it's lovely.
I'm going to say, since the first couple of pours, and it's even been open for like 3 days, it's already settled, and the finish is a lot better on it. It's now much nicer, like the way it lingers in the mouth. Any of that, whatever was going on initially, sort of being maybe slightly too strong, has gone almost immediately after 3 days open or something.
Mm-hmm. Gotta fight just to keep the drams alive. It's a line in a spreadsheet, it's a dram review ride. Now Brian's tracked it to provide data insights. And the last line entry was on Thursday night, and he's drinking it all for her line in a spreadsheet.
So, this was in your glass then, Brian. What's been up your arse?
Teenagers. I know I'm a lot further ahead than you two in terms of looking after kids and stuff, but my two are older teenagers, and the eldest has finished university for the year.
Already?
Exactly.
So it just means he's just hanging around the
house.
He's
at home, hanging around.
What, is he doing virtual classes for the rest of the semester or something?
Finished for the year. Till September.
That never happened to us.
I know. We finished like June, July or something, didn't we?
4 months.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Absolutely crazy.
Get him to work.
Yeah.
Get him to do something.
You can go and dust your bottle collection.
So,
can he drive? He can't drive. This is the one that can't drive.
He can't drive. So
you could have been chauffeuring you around for
4 months. Well, that would have been a good point, yes. But he doesn't drink either, so.
Oh, my days. It would have been perfect. This is a bit like... This is Ian from Glenmurray's wife all over again, isn't it?
Yeah. Doesn't
drink, but can't drive. Yeah.
But yeah. So now we've gone from having a nice empty house, just me and the missus. We've got an older teenager back.
Brilliant.
See, you thought you were free.
Yeah, but you don't have to do bedtimes though. You're not having to read them stories and give them milk. No. You're not having to wipe their bum once they've been for a wee.
Them days are long gone. Long gone.
I'm going to say that you've probably slightly got the easier deal. You can go, "Do you fancy a pint?" And you go, "All right." Oh, because he doesn't drink.
Yeah. Doesn't drink.
"Do you fancy watching me have a pint?" There you go, son. Get yourself a game of pool. I'm going to be at the bar.
Yeah.
God.
What about you, Mike? What's been in your glass and what's been up your ass?
Well, that's led nicely onto mine, and it's Isla has reached the stage of solid poos. So we have left the water stage. We are now in absolute chaos, mess. And again, I don't know what to do with myself. I'm like, you take the nappy off and it is just the worst smell in the world. It's chaos. She wants to put her hands in it. She wants to just like roll around, smash her feet in it. Lara's just like laughing at me because it always inevitably is when I go and change her that she's done it. She like she holds them in just for me. So yeah, we're at a good stage of development. She's getting a voice a little bit. She's giggling all the time. She's actually interacting. But yeah, what goes in comes out far worse.
Should have called the pod this week Nuggets of Wisdom. But actually, what have we called the pod, Mike?
We are episode 52. Road tripping Isla Whiskey.
Yes.
Yeah. We've continued on the theme. Not gone too wild.
What's been in your glass then for this last week?
What has been in my glass? I had some Sanig. Right. Dived back into that because I found that in the cupboard. Just a waste of time. That's still decent. It's on theme, isn't it? Come on.
It is
Isla Whiskey. And then obviously, as we've said, the new Loch Lomond distillery. Number 5. So that is all that's been in my glass. And what's in my glass at the moment is the number 5, along with 3 lovely drams from Brian, which all come from Isla, which I haven't sniffed, looked at, done anything with, poured it.
Oh,
not
my
looking.
Days,
they're away
already.
From me. I know you have. I hold back. I got restraint. So, yeah. How about you? What's been in your glass? What's in your glass? And what's been up your arse?
Well, same as you guys. I've obviously tried the Loch Lomond Distillery Edition 5, which I'm loving. £57. Well spent, I would say. Did a Tobermory Lichig tasting with PS Whiskey on Saturday. And my big takeaway from that was some expensive whiskies in there, I would say. 17-year-old sherry cask, 12-year-old port pipe, all cask strength. Oof, there was one other one. There was two Lichigs. One was Marsala. One was Bordeaux or something, 9-year-old.
Curry.
Yeah, curry, yeah. Then there was the Jalfrezi. Then you had Buna. It was all in there. Anyway.
Hey!
I got that set as well, but Saturday was my birthday, so I couldn't take part. So I've got them to enjoy next week.
72. Who'd have thought it? Yeah.
Nearly 72. Nearly.
Yeah, happy birthday to you. We hope you had a nice birthday weekend.
Good, thank you. Yes.
Did you have a chilled one?
Yeah, just went out with the wife and kids and had a few beers, a few drams. It was good. And obviously,
did you pay for it?
Of course, I did.
Yeah.
Oh my god. It's not a birthday, then, is it?
No, that's the thing now. I don't know when that starts. Yeah. Exactly.
Did you buy yourself a whiskey for your birthday?
Well, the Distillery Edition 5 arrived on my birthday.
So kind of.
So,
how many arrived on your birthday?
A few.
More than three?
No, just three.
Just three.
Just for anybody that thinks they've got a whiskey problem, if you buy just three of one bottle, it's not a problem. That's totally normal.
Yeah. I've just bought two of the inaugural In the Welsh Wind whiskey that's just been released today. Bit pricey for a new release, but yeah, I mean, 95 quid, 3 years old.
There's a few bottles out today, wasn't there? The new Glen Scotia Campbelltown Malts came out today, Fino finish.
Watch this space for that.
Yeah, Cooper King brought out their second release, came out today. Yeah,
you could say that of any day, though. There's a few bottles that come out every single day. There's not a quiet day in whiskey anymore. No. I feel like there was 2 days in January when nothing was released, and other than that, it's just a deluge.
It's
all
been
the time.
Pretty manic so far this year. I think I bought numbers of bottles. Yeah.
Remember, this is why. So, we talked about whiskey watch lists before. So, Glen Scotia Festival Campbelltown 9-year-old Fino is on my whiskey watch list. I couldn't avoid the FOMO with the Distillery Edition number 5 from Loch Lomond. But the other one's on my watch list. I'll be watching. I'll try to get a sample. I'll check because it's not peated, right? And I really like the peated Scotias, so more than the non-peated Scotias.
I mean, Loch Lomond have brought out 3 bottles in the last couple of months. So there's the single grain Cooper's Edition.
Yep.
So, yeah. Virgin Spanish Oak. That's fantastic. And obviously the Golf Edition that comes out every year. This was a Chardonnay wine cask rather than Chardonnay wine yeast. Yeah. So, just spending money left, right and centre.
It's just relentless. What I was going to say on what I learned from the Tobermory Lichig tasting was I really like the 12 standard edition, right? Like I really think that's a balanced whiskey. So it was interesting trying some Tobermorys that were not, not non-core, because I mostly just drink the chig. And what I learned was I'm right on that, right? It's not confirmation bias. There's something in the spirit and the distiller, the way it's made and that kind of dirtiness that comes in there that really works in a peated whiskey, right? It really, really works, like, amazingly well, but doesn't work quite as well, I think, in the cleaner, non-peated whiskey for me.
Yeah.
So I think they've done some wonders to get the 12 core range to be as tasty as it is. They seem to have somehow managed to get rid of, they've kept it oily and coastal, but that sort of dirtiness or that kind of sort of note that's in there, it isn't present in that for whatever reason. So that was what I learned from that. And I also, Brian, I tried the Glenmurray port cask you sent me.
That's really good, isn't it?
That is top banana.
It's the first unpeated port one I've had from them. I think I've had 3 or 4 peated port single bottles and single cask, sorry, and they're really, really good.
Yeah.
Just going back to your Lichig, have you tried the Sinclair Rioja version bottling?
Yes.
I think so, yes.
That's really good.
Dirt cheap as well.
Dirt cheap, peated wine. I mean, what more do you want?
But peated, that's the important thing.
Yeah.
It's really important with that, I think. It's like, it just works so, so well with peat.
Yeah.
I was going to see what I said exactly, but I will check and see if I elaborated further than that.
It's far better than the Tobermory, I think. Tobermory is decent, but yeah, you got to have that.
You need to check your spreadsheet, Duncan.
Oh, you do know I don't have a spreadsheet. I could say I've forgotten more about whiskey than you've learned to people.
Yeah.
Because you can't say that. You have to say, I'll check my spreadsheet, right? So what I actually said was, the spirit's quality, minerality, dirtiness works so well with peat. That's what I said. That's my observation. So that's the positive way to frame. If I'm going to buy from that distillery, I really want the chig rather than...
Yeah.
Yeah, the non-peated.
I'd go with that.
What's been up my arse? quite serious. BT left me without internet for 3 days. Brutal. Turned out it was an external fault. Guy came around to fix it today, and he said, I have no idea how you had internet. No idea. He's like, it was hanging on by a thread. It looked like it'd be installed. Looked like it'd been installed by a wild animal. That's what he
really?
Said. Yeah, that's what he said.
Do you reckon Leo's been messing with the wires?
No, it's outside.
Outside in the box.
I don't know.
Maybe it was those lads that moved the bin.
It could be. And the other thing was, and this is, I was quite unwell for a while, and I'm never sure how seriously my wife takes any illness that I have, you know, in terms of sympathy or whatever. Yeah. And Maria was listening to the White Horse pod, you know, like the couple.
Jack's
dad, what's he called?
Yes.
Senior Jack Whitehall, the older gentleman, right? And his wife, whatever she's called, I don't know.
Mum.
Anyway, so the dad and mum of Jack Whitehall. The Whitehalls. Anyway, she was listening to the pod, and apparently the mum was saying she'd had something for 2 months, and then she said also her daughter had it. It's a cough that won't go away. And Maria said to me, oh, maybe it is real.
Oh, no way.
Pretty much.
Seriously?
And the last thing, and this is a really risky
and you'd
thing.
Been putting it on for 2 months just
yeah,
to try and get
putting
some
it on
sympathy.
For 2 months, Brian. 100%. Yeah. Yeah. You see this little bottle I'm holding up here? This is what these samples came in, right?
Mm.
Yeah. And on 3 out of 5, when I poured them, these little plastic bottles, the little ringlet goes in the whiskey, the little plastic ringlet. And you can fish it out, but it's like filthy. Like, you don't want that to happen to your whiskey, do you? You're not putting plastic in 100 quid whiskey.
Did you lose the ambiance?
I don't know. It's just really annoying. Anyway, that's probably
that's happened to me before.
Panicky, yeah.
It's them funny bottles.
Yeah, 100%, yeah. It's a line in a spreadsheet. It's a dram reviewed right now. Brian's checked it to provide data inside. And the last known entry was from Thursday night. And he's drinking it all for a line. Right, guys, we've got a Gordon from Tooting has written into the pod again.
Oh, we haven't heard from Gordon for
a couple of weeks. So let's hear what Gordon's got to say, and then Brian, you fancy doing putting Island Drams after that?
Sounds good.
Right, so just checking Gordon's message. Here we go. Gordon from Tooting here with a health warning. It all started when I went out to pick up a bottle of Redbreast Tawny Port Edition after belatedly seeing your enthusiastic post on Sunday morning. I rushed across town in almost a daze, desperate to secure a bottle before they were all snapped up by fellow pod fans. I had one. The bottle was in hand and I skipped out of the shop with joy. It was a very busy day in town and before I knew it, I'd been swept into a crowd of joggers. Try as I might, I couldn't regain the pavement due to these enthusiastic but rather rude keep fit nuts. After what felt like 26 miles, I found my way back to the car. I hardly need to say it, but my brogues were ruined. For the past day, I've also been confined to my bed after being diagnosed with one of the worst cases of jogger's nipple that my physician has ever seen in his career. Red breasts, indeed.
Oh, dear. Take some doing to go and buy a bottle of whiskey and end up running the London Marathon.
Marathon, there you go. Thanks, Gordon. Much appreciated.
Gordon, do let us know what time you posted as well. Be interesting to see where you ended up.
Yeah, did you? Did you see that guy who was on Instagram and he ran it? He's a famous wine taster, and he tried 26 wines during the London Marathon. He didn't drink them all. He was just trying them. So he's trying them all blind, apparently.
Yeah.
As he's memorized 26 in a row. But I feel like he knows his stuff. And every mile he tried one, and he got most of them right. It's quite really? Impressive, really. Yeah. And he looked knackered near the end.
Have you ever done one?
Nope. It's too far for me.
I want to have knees. 26 miles too far.
I want to have knees that work when I get older. You know, that's what they say. You shouldn't run further than sort of 10K or 10 miles regularly.
I can confirm that. Absolutely vouch for that. Yeah.
So whilst you're looking that up, Pudding Island Drams. So Pudding Island Drams, for people that haven't listened to the pod before, it's the first time you listen to the pod. Pudding Island Drams, you're going to a deserted island for 30 days, no longer, because if you go for more than 30 days, of course, that's more like a form of torture. So you get 30 nights on your own. And during that time, what we want to know is, one, what kind of deserted island did you go to? Two, what pudding, you allowed one pudding, what pudding did you have for the duration? Two, what music would you listen to? You allowed an album, some people have been choosing compilations recently. I really feel like they're bending the rules.
I think we should ban it.
I think we should ban it from now, especially when people are like, I'm going to make my own mixtape or whatever. Anyway, yeah. Three, that was Soren. Three, Whiskey, of course. It's a Whiskey pod. What Whiskey do you listen to? And then four after that, or five, whichever one it is, who's going to pick you up? So, Brian, what's your desert island like?
I'm going with Soren on this one. Mine's got to be somewhere cold, log cabin, big fire, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Middle of the ocean.
I don't care where it is. I think partly due to my choice of whiskey, it's something that's best drunk, you know, somewhere cold, snowy, sat in front of a fire, nice comfy leather chair, that kind of thing.
I don't think we've had anyone that said snowy so far. Soren said like kind of like green forests and serial killer territory, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're going to go with a snowy landscape.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Like it.
So what's your choice of pudding then? What are you going to munch on for?
It's easy, really, because it's like most other people, it's sticky toffee pudding.
This point, it's like 50% of all people in the world.
The sticky toffee pudding, and then there's the original sticky toffee pudding, which comes from a little town called Cartmel, which is about 10 miles away from where I live here in South Cumbria.
I could tell because you went more Cumbrian when you said it.
It's
right up here.
They also do a really nice sticky ginger pudding as well.
Oh, that sounds good too.
But the original, it's the original sticky toffee pudding. It's got to be with custard.
None of this ice cream. Hot custard, I'm assuming.
Definitely. Beautiful. And I could live on that for 30 days, no bother.
Well, with the amount of calories in it, you'd be able to live on it, no problem.
Be fine.
30 days.
Absolutely.
I'm sure if you offered it to some homeless people, they'd be snapping your hand off as well.
Well, right? I'm hoping on Desert Island there isn't any homeless people, but you know.
If there is, the government would be fining them, Brian. Don't worry about it. So sticky toffee pudding, another one for sticky toffee pudding, but this time
the original
sticky toffee pudding. I'd like to know if there's anybody else out there who feels like the origin of sticky toffee pudding was somewhere else. Yeah. Maybe an American or something.
I'm writing down T-original.
T-original.
T-original sticky toffee pudding.
If you're an American listening to this, Cumbria was around before America was invented. So if you think that you invented sticky toffee pudding, you're wrong. Yeah. Just for our American listeners, 10%. So what about music, Brian? What's your choice of album?
Music's really hard. Obviously, I think most people struggle with this one. I had to think back a little bit, and I got to the album I've probably listened to most, which is one I'd probably take again. When I was a youngster, just finished uni, I went interrailing for a month. Have you guys done that? Interrailing.
I think that means going on trains for free until you get caught.
No. You buy a ticket. It was about £200 when I was there, and you can go on any train in Europe for free.
What?
For a month, me and my mate, we went as far as Istanbul, went all over the place, had a whale of a time for a month, came back stinking of...
Turkish saunas, by the sound of it.
Well, lots of horrible smells. But what I listened to there, I had an old Sony Walkman.
I had a Walkman as well.
I took with me, and that was Alchemy Live by Dire Straits.
Oh, what a choice. I love Dire Straits, Brian.
Yeah.
Private Investigations...
I listened to Alchemy Live a lot when I was younger.
Yeah,
I think of. Do you have a preference between Communique and Brothers in Arms?
I'd go Brothers in Arms for me. Yeah,
it's a popular choice. Yeah,
disagrees. I love
this
it.
Listen, the connoisseur's choice.
Well, you're wrong,
Communique.
But
you're not wrong. Yeah, I mean, they're both great albums.
And that's why you go for Alchemy Live, because it's got everything. Really good hits on.
Cracking. My dad used to make us, I mean, it's not that torturous, but make us sit and watch Dire Straits most Saturday nights once he's had too many drinks.
Oh, really?
We're just putting Martin Offer on the TV again, son. All right.
Yeah, love it. Can I stand it?
Oh, dear. So what about your whiskey then, Brian?
Really, really hard, this one. But it's got to be the bottle that I've bought most of. It's probably not my favourite whiskey, to be honest, but it's one I've bought most of and drunk most of because it's a really easy drinker. It's really nice. I love it. It's the Glen Scotia Campbelltown Festival bottle for 2020, the Tawny Port.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Well, at least I can say I've had two bottles of that and they're both gone. So yeah. I concur it's decent. It wouldn't be my favourite either, but it's good. Mike, you must have had that, Mike.
Yeah, I think I had a sample of it. I didn't buy a bottle, but...
It was good. So that'd be your choice. I guess that works in the cold. That works in the cold.
Exactly.
Right?
That's the point. Yeah, yeah. It works in the cold. It's you know, it's peated. It's thick, tawny port. It's really chewy. Lovely dram.
Just for pod listeners, Brian has confirmed that he's going to sell his remaining bottles at RRP.
Yeah.
To whoever.
Brian doesn't sell bottles. Brian drinks bottles.
Brian's just dashing off to uncork them, take the top off, and just have the neck pour just to make sure that no one will buy it. I've seen people selling open bottles these days. That's how tough times are.
I mean, what?
That's crazy. Yeah,
it is crazy, isn't it? Just drink it. I mean, sell.
How do you know how long it's been open?
I don't know.
How do you know what's been in it?
Yeah.
Even more. It's a lot of trust involved, isn't there, really?
How do you know no one's dipped anything in it?
If you give, you know, I give, you know, like heels of bottles to people. Mm. There you go. You know, have a nosh on that. But that's different to like trying to sell it to someone random.
It is,
right?
Yeah. I mean,
that's a sound clip I'm keeping.
We swap samples, you know, that kind of thing. There's an element of trust in there. But,
oh, huge trust.
But not open bottles. I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah. I remember swapping samples with you lot first when we did the blind tastings. And I was like,
yeah.
4 years, you're just sending whiskey to people on the internet and they're sending you unnamed bottles back and you're going to drink them. Yeah.
And then tell us what you think.
Yeah.
It worked, didn't it?
Yeah, to be fair. Start of something beautiful.
So, Brian, who's going to pick you up then from this desert?
This is really difficult. You see, if the wife was listening, it would have to be the wife. But
in reality,
it'd probably be my best mate. So, John.
Oh, that's brutal to the wife.
I know it
is.
Get the boys. The lads are going to pick me up, aren't they? I haven't seen my wife in 30 days. Are we going to go out for a couple of nights, aren't we? 32 nights is making a difference.
Yeah, I'm not away for 30 days. It's about 35, really. But,
Yeah. Are you coming straight home? Nope, we're going to the pub. I haven't seen the boys in ages.
Segway, going to Isla next.
Yeah.
All right. So, we were interested then to know, how did you plan your trip, right? Okay. Because I think that for people that are listening to the pod, there's a lot of people that haven't been. I haven't been. I've been to other parts of Scotland, unless I went when I was so young, I'd have to check with my dad. But it's irrelevant because I don't remember. Mm. So how do you go about planning a trip then to go to Islay?
The thing with Islay is it is obviously an island. So getting there is, first of all, a bit of a pain. You need to get a ferry and everything.
You went in helicopter. You no?
Private helicopter.
But the ferry goes from the top end of Kintyre, so you know on your way to Campbelltown. So you're already 2 hours out of Glasgow to get to the ferry port. Maybe a little bit longer. You get the ferry across to Islay, and that'll either drop you off at the north end of the island at. I can't pronounce it. Port Eskraig, is it?
Port Askeig.
Askeig.
Or at the bottom end at Port Ellen. There's obviously 9 distilleries on Islay. If you're going to do it properly, then you can't do them all in one trip. You know, my suggestion is you do 2 a day. I'm sure people who listen to this, we've been to whiskey distilleries. Most distilleries distill whiskey the same way. What you're really interested in is getting a feel for the place, getting into the warehouse, doing a warehouse tasting. And the kind of trips that I go on with my mates, you know, John and Max and Andrew and Mark, we go for warehouse tastings. So when we went to Islay, we knew we didn't have very long. You know, some of my friends have got young kids, so we only managed to get away for a couple of days. I've got a special needs son, so I only get away for a couple of days. So we had 2 days on the island, so we knew we could do 4 distilleries, one in the morning, one in the afternoon each time. So of the 9, you've got to pick which are your favourite.
Yeah.
And then decide, you know, which ones actually do tours or tastings in the morning and afternoon, how you can fit them in.
So how did you decide that? What order did you decide to go through the distilleries, and which ones did you miss out?
So
obviously Kilhoman.
Obviously Kilhoman, because I'm not a fan at all. I'm sorry.
Yes, I just Brian.
Don't like their whiskey.
One of us.
So that
One
was easy to miss.
Yeah.
It was down to, so I went with a group of friends. So we had a bit of a vote, you know, which ones we want to go to, and the top 4 is where we went. So we started off at Boonehaven. Dave Brody kindly showed us around there in the warehouse. Although we're in the warehouse, I don't know if you've been there, but there's like a square area at the end of the warehouse, where Dave's got his casks at one end. There's two pews up the side and a pew at the back. And there were some Japanese tourists there, some other Scottish tourists, some Americans. And Dave sat them all at the front and sat us at the back out of the way, you know, the riffraff out of the way, yeah, quiet.
Right.
But that was an absolutely amazing tasting. What Dave doesn't know about sherry and sherry casks, you don't need to know. So we had the, you know, all the information about the sherry casks and how Buna Harbin used them to mature the whiskies. We had four samples straight out of the casks.
Nice.
Absolutely amazing. Really good. Had a look around the distillery. So that was the morning. One thing you will struggle with in Nyla is trying to get something to eat somewhere.
Yeah. Right.
Luckily, we went next door to Ardenhoe, to their cafe, which unfortunately is now closed.
Yeah.
Had some lunch there. And then from there, we went on to Bowmore in the afternoon.
Okay.
Now, Bowmore is one of these distilleries you think, the whiskey, it's a bit like Glenmorangie. It's cheap supermarket stuff, or it's expensive older stuff.
Not much middle ground. But it's very expensive when it's expensive, whereas Glenmorangie, I mean, they...
Yeah, some of their new warehouse releases are on a bit cheap. And obviously
it's like Macallan pricing, not far off.
That's right. Yeah. So then we went on to Bowmore. And to be honest, that wasn't top of my list of places to go to. Mm. I think John and Max were really keen on going there. But it was one of the best tours I've ever done. It's in the top five.
Seriously?
Yeah. And that's because the lady who took us around, I've forgotten the name now, be on my blog somewhere. We had a quick tour around the distillery, and it was fairly quick. But one of the main things we did, we went up into the malt barn where they obviously malt some of their own barley.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But we went up into the kiln as well.
Right.
And up into the pagoda. And now in the pagoda, the barley was probably about 15 inches deep, and we were walking through 15 inch barley.
Oh, that is great.
And it was like, it was all lovely and warm. So obviously the smoking had just finished, and the obviously the kiln wasn't on, the smoke had cleared. And
were you like bare feet or shoes or what's the crack
shoes,
there?
Yeah, just in shoes.
Just shoes.
And that was the thing. Didn't check your shoes
for dog's mess or anything like that first, no.
For the next 3 days, we're finding barley in our shoes.
going to the beach.
That was good. Yeah. And then we went into the warehouse, into the vault, and they had three single casks there. And you could, we got to, you know, draw it ourselves and try the three different bottles. I was going to say something there, but I won't. Try the three different drams. And the one we liked most, we were able to fill a bottle and bring home.
Dram 2 of your blind drams.
Yes.
Yes. That means I've got one of three right.
You've got one of three right. Brian, unbelievable.
To give Brian a pause, Brian's given us three blind drams, all handfuls from Isla to try. And I tried them before the pod, and Mike's trying them now.
I may as well dive into B then, just to have a look.
But I've confidently guessed there, and that could have gone wrong, but I guessed Blind Dram 2 was Bowmore, and it is, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
yes.
It's like smoky raspberry ripple ice cream.
Do you want to hear something controversial? It was my favourite of the three.
It's good, isn't it?
It's because it's so hard to get that floral, fruity, peaty, and it actually made me think the fruitiness in it is very similar to kind of Loch Lomond, really. It's just peated Isla, but it has that kind of really fruity element to it, right?
It's really a lot going on there.
Yeah. So they let you walk around in the barley, right?
Yeah, walk around the barley. You know, we had a go at pulling the, whatever the turning tool is for turning the barley over on the malt floor, and then set up into the pagoda to see how it was all dried. Really good.
Right. So this is done in the morning. You've been to...
Bernhaven, yeah.
And then you've gone to...
Well, a day Brody tasting, so you are probably quite
probably
well lubricated.
We were quite merry.
Did he crack the guitar out?
He didn't for us, actually. No, he didn't.
Right.
Disappointed. It just means we're going to have to go again.
I'm amazed. I wrote down two things I wanted to ask you about what you were saying there. So first thing was snacks. You said it's really hard to get food, right? What kind of snacks did you boys pack then? Or did you just get there and go, damn, we're hungry? We don't know what to eat.
So on the first day, we were lucky, and Dave suggested the Ardenhoe Cafe, so we went there. On the second day, we learned our lesson, and we made some sandwiches to take with us on the second day.
Smart. And where did you stay?
That was the point I was going to say. Obviously, accommodation is quite difficult. I mean, if you go for the festival, trying to get accommodation is next to impossible.
Yeah.
We booked about 4 months in advance of when we were going.
Yeah.
And we stopped in Beaumont in a nice little Airbnb fairly close to the Beaumont Hotel and just across the road from where Mr. Brody lives.
Right. Very convenient.
Which is very convenient, yes. So
yeah. I want to give a shout out to the Glen Eggerdale House, which is near the airport. So good.
And they're very good on social media, I think, sometimes.
Yeah, I think we did look at them. The only issue is, you know, if you want to go out for a pint in the evening, you're miles from anywhere.
Yeah.
And
you have to call the one taxi driver.
And
that's David Brody. It's like he does everything on the island.
That gets going to the second point, which is transport and getting around.
Yeah.
I think there's about four or five taxi companies on Isla. Most of them are like one-man bands with one taxi.
They were
probably all registered with Uber, so you can try and dial an Uber, but you won't get one.
No.
Again, we booked our taxi a number of months in advance. Colin, absolutely brilliant. He looked after us, and basically he just ferried us around. We'd sort of booked him for the day. He did do the odd job in between, but we knew we were guaranteed to get from A to B when we needed to.
So it's worth trying to just get a taxi driver who's going to be there for you, agree a rate, let them do whatever they're doing in between, and just know you message them like an hour when you're ready away or whatever or something like that.
That's right. And I mean, he does this quite regularly, so he knows how long the tours last and everything.
It's worth pointing out that stuff, though, because to be honest, if you come from a busy place or where you're used to just being able to get everything on the spot, some people don't realise what it's like in the true countryside or remote parts.
It's the wilds of nowhere. That's right.
You have to get very much used to drunk cycling, which obviously you're not allowed to do, and we don't condone.
You do not condone drunk cycling.
No. Yeah. So Colin Attic Cabs, it is. He used to work at Boona, so he's involved in the industry and know what's going on.
And you sure it's not just David Brody like in a face mask? No,
no, it wasn't.
One thing you said there, you said that the Beaumont tour was in your top five tours ever.
Yes.
Could I trouble you to ask, what are your top five tours ever?
Number one, obviously big fanboy, Loch Lomond.
Standard. Best trip ever.
Number two, Glen Scotia.
Okay, yeah, I could have guessed the first two. Okay.
Absolutely amazing. Number three would probably be Balvenie.
Wow, okay, yeah.
Second person that said that.
We went there last year. What an amazing tour. Absolutely amazing. Mm. Beaumont would probably go in number four. Number five is an interesting one. You probably can't see it on the telly, but I have my T-shirt on.
Auchentoshan.
Bankhall. English.
Bankhall in Blackpool, which isn't there anymore.
Oh, really?
They moved or they've gone?
They did move for a number of months and then closed again. Not a great story.
Blaming Peter Kay somehow.
What's that Cooper distillery, Mike? The one that you Cooper King?
Cooper King. No.
And they it's not that one, but
Halewood International, that's who it is.
Okay. They just put out a map saying there's 55 distilleries.
Yes. Can you believe we talked about it and then they updated it days after we did the English whiskey.
Is Bankhall in that 55? That's what was my
It probably was at one time, yeah.
Mm. It probably might have been. When did it close?
So it closed last year.
Oh, it probably was on that list then. Yeah.
So do you... I thought you got the rest of the trip to talk through. We're keen to hear about. But would you like to... Brian very kindly, Malt Musings, very kindly sent us three Isla samples to try. And we've been through and I've tried them. Mike's trying them.
You've already ruined the one, but thank you.
I haven't ruined it because I guessed it.
You told me what it was.
That's ballsy. No, it could have been wrong though, couldn't I? Brian didn't have to say
blind.
Anything. Brian
yeah,
ruined
no
it if anything because Brian went, yeah, you're correct. He should have said zip.
Okay, let's try A then.
Super malty.
Yeah, I put down creamy, ready salted potato crisps, seaweed, sea salt, creamy carbonara or mushroom tagliatelle on the nose.
I'm still getting loads of strawberries and stuff
I've
on
guessed,
it as well.
I'm not going to say because I don't want to spoil it for Mike in case Brian goes, yeah, you're
well,
right.
Let us all give our thoughts first. For me, this one is, it's obviously peated. There's quite a lot of peat smoke in there. Quite a lot of salinity as well.
Ooh, yeah.
But it, like Mike said, loads of berries, strawberries, cherries, blueberries.
On the nose. Mm,
yeah.
Yeah.
Heavy. I think this is a yummy dram.
That is a dirty smoke.
I really enjoyed it. Mm. Really, really enjoyed it. It reminded me of something I've got in the cupboard, which probably means I'm wildly wrong.
I wonder if that's a wild, like a Warehouse 9 Bunner, something completely random.
Let's not guess. Let's guess, but let's not say what it is yet.
Yeah.
Because I've got a different guess for it.
Okay.
I've got a pretty close guess for it. They're all handfills, though, right? They're all handfills.
I hope so.
Yeah. And just to confirm, yeah, okay. You have to be very delicate with us after our experience of the lag handfill recently. So on the palate, I put like seaweed, sea salt, very meaty, like freshly squeezed oranges, gentle peat. I put sherry cask, citrus oak, like red fruit. Maybe it's like PX cask or something. I don't know. Yeah. And the finish gave me sort of crackers, oak, char, peat, creaminess. Got a lot of creaminess in it, really.
Yeah, it is quite creamy.
Which is what has made me think it's one particular Islay distillery.
Okay.
I loved it, though. In fact, I have to say, I loved all three. I feel like the reason I said that Dram 2 was probably my favourite is because it's so rare to get the floralness, and I was the only one I was confident about guessing. And I thought like Dram A and Dram C were like a slightly more gentle than Dram B, which was... By the way, what was the ABV on Dram B?
54.9.
Yeah, I said it was kind of punchy. Good. So what did you get on the palate and the finish then, Mike and Brian, on the Dram A?
It's nice.
Nice. Lovely.
For me, it's all those sort of berries from the nose are back. So there's a big blueberry jam note here.
Oh, do you know, I didn't get that.
I love that on sherry cask.
It doesn't mean it wasn't there with me. It just means sometimes I find it hard to tune into the berries once I've got focused on something else with me, right?
I think that the smoke on this one sort of keeps industrial. Your attention all the way through. Mm. Sort of maybe diverts you from that. I get a little bit of, I get this quite often on sherry cask, some strawberries with balsamic vinegar drizzled on top.
Yeah.
I was going to say that.
Oh, you love that note, don't you? That's one of your favourite notes.
I do like that note. It's really good.
Can I ask, do you actually do that at home? Do you do?
I do.
That's why you get it. The more you do something, the more you find it, you know.
If you've not tried it before, get some strawberries, just drizzle a little bit of balsamic vinegar over them. You just need a couple of drops on each strawberry. It is amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, Brian, I would definitely try that because we've always got strawberries in because we get our daughter Eva has them all the time. There's always strawberries in the fridge.
Traditional scrumpy as well, cider note on there, which I love.
Mm. I think we should do a reveal on this one and then move on and talk about the next two distilleries and then go on to Dram B. You can be trying Dram B whilst Brian talks us through the next two distilleries.
Yeah, go on. What is it?
Okay, so
hang on. Can I have a guess?
Go on then.
Oh, do I want to guess? Because if I guess and I'm wrong, it's really embarrassing.
Yes, guess.
It's Blind Drams.
Is there a photo of it on your website? Because he's probably cheating.
No, I haven't checked. Hand on heart. I really felt like this was Laphroaig.
Okay, interesting. Mike?
So I'm saying Bunner.
This is a Buna Moyne Oloroso book.
Oh, my days. That's so embarrassing.
56% ABV. Okay. Amazing.
It's really good.
Amazing.
And actually, Brian... Mike, what did we just manage to get from SMWS?
Mm.
Salted cinnamon.
The one butter. We talked about, 16-year-old Bunner, 105 quid, came back, like literally sold out everywhere. We were asking the barman, he's like, you cannot get it. It flew off the shelves. We can't get it. We want more. Appeared back in stock. Duncan saw it. I haven't Bought checked it. To see if it's still there.
Yeah, it is.
Is it still there?
Experts, there's limited stock left. I mean,
I am tempted to get a second. Brian. I mean, I will taste it. I think it's arriving in the next couple of days. If it's still there and it's as good as I remember.
Brian, I'm waiting for it to arrive before I send you your drams.
Thank
Put
you.
Two and two together.
Thank
You're
you
welcome. It is incredible. What an amazing 16-year-old ex-Burbs car. So I love this.
So technically, we're 1-1, Duncan, because we've got one right, haven't we? Yeah,
you got one. Yeah, spot on. So you've just finished up at... dipping back into the Islay road trip, you've just finished up at Bowmore.
You called up Colin. You've done it, Bowmore.
Well, because we're staying in Bowmore, we didn't need him. So we could just walk around. We walked around to the Chinese, got a takeaway. You know, takeaway on Bowmore isn't quick. It was a good 25, 30-minute wait.
That's not too bad.
I think it's maybe the only Chinese.
I think that's making it yourself.
It's not far off, is it?
If it takes 5 minutes, you know they've just heated up in the microwave. I'm not sure what you're complaining about.
Yeah. And then we went next door to the, I think it's the co-op, to buy sandwiches, sandwich stuff to make sandwiches for the next day. Because we knew
the next day, so you didn't get caught out again.
That's right, yeah. I mean, accommodation, ferry, transport and food are probably the key things to think about if you're going to Islay.
So that was day one?
Yes. So we then went to the Bowmore Hotel, had a couple of pints in there. The little Airbnb that we had had a... log fire stove thing, whatever you call them. So that was really good. Got that lit and had a whale of a time. So nice. up the next morning, obviously cooked breakfast for everybody, and then picked up by
you
Colin.
You cooked breakfast.
I cooked breakfast one day. I think Max did it the second day.
Oh, you actually did?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's nice. So you all got together and you took it in turns to cook breakfast
Yeah,
that's nice.
And then we went to Lefroy. Obviously, I think most people have probably got their little square foot plot on Isla from buying a Lefroy and registering it. And we obviously had to go there. So we went to Lefroy Distillery first. Really picturesque, really, really nice distillery right on the coast. We were stood outside taking pictures of the wall where they've got Lefroy written on the side of the warehouse and everything. That was really good. Tour around the distillery was quite interesting. Huge, big stills they've got there. So I had a look around there. We then, quite interestingly, went into the casking store where they fill the casks up with the new make. We just happened to be there on the day where they were filling the casks with the first unpeated Lefroy.
Right.
Yeah, wow.
Well, very the first ever?
First ever unpeated Lefroy.
Timing. Whoa. Timing, Brian.
So, they obviously did it as an experiment, and in 8-10 years, it might turn out to be bottled.
Did you get to taste it? The new
we got to taste new mate. Yeah, the guy said stick your fingers in the barrel, so we were there and we were sticking our fingers in the barrel.
Yes, you finger the barrel.
Tasting it. Yeah, really good.
Nice.
New make's new make, but this was very fruity. Yeah.
I don't mind new make, and I'd love to have tasted new make Lefroy. I think that would be bizarre.
Unpeated.
But unpeated. So it was just completely, you were not expecting it at all. Very strange.
Was it limey? Because you get so much lime through Lefroy when it's peated. It's the note I pick up. Did you get like strong citrus?
No, I didn't notice citrus or lime. I was more fruity, sort of orchard fruit type stuff.
Right, okay.
But yeah, so it'd be very interesting to see what happens there. So that part of the tour was good. And then we went into the warehouse, which again is one of these famous warehouses on the warehouse number one right on the coast. It's the one that's got
it's stunning to look at. It's one of those
signed by Prince Charles, the one
of the most like Bunhaven and Lefroy, I think are the two most picturesque ones, aren't they? Really?
And then that's when the disappointment started.
Oh, here we go.
So I moaned about Lefroy tour. I thought it was pretty shite.
They had.
Yeah, you've been as well, haven't you, Brian? Mike, you've been, right?
Yeah.
They had three casks there. One was a wine cask, and the other one was a sherry cask, and one was the other two were bourbon, and it's like. Okay, we've got an old bourbon, a young bourbon, a sherry, but
nothing.
It's not very exciting. What, where's some wine or something? Mm. So
it's
again, we got to try a sample out of each one and then pick which one we liked and filled a 200ml bottle or something with it.
Do you remember what the sort of cost differences were between these as you're going along? Like, are they all kind of a similar price, or
do you mean the cost for the tour?
The cost of doing each tour, right? Does it vary a lot between distilleries or?
They were all round about the £50 mark.
Okay, so as part of the fragrance, you got 200ml free or included.
Yeah.
Well, it's not terrible, is it? I mean, did you like it? What they offered?
Yeah, it would have been nice to try something different than just two ex bourbons. I think.
Did you get the same kind of 200ml to take away with you on the Buna tour and the Beaumont tour?
Not on the Buna one. The Buna one was a little bit cheaper, I think.
So just to confirm, the Buna tour, no guitar. No,
no takeaway.
No wonder Davey's got to be charming.
But he did dress up as a taxi driver.
Yeah, he did dress up as a taxi driver. So it was a little disappointing. But
you wanted more choice, basically.
Yeah, it would have been nice. Choice. You know, if they're putting three casks out, at least put three different casks out. But there we go.
When you argue, think about it, Brian. How many drams have you tried in your life?
I just need to check the spreadsheet, and it tells me.
So go and then check which line are you up to at the moment?
So distillery edition number 5 was dram 2,946.
Mm-hmm. What?
So coming in for 3,000?
Coming in for 3,000. Yeah. 3,000 this year it'll be,
3K coming in hot.
Yeah, man, amazing. So so what you're saying is, Lefroy, you're a bit on the fence about.
Would you go back?
Well, probably. I would hope that they change something. So after we'd done the tasting in the warehouse, we then went back into the distillery shop, and they've got this little area for Friends of Lefroy where they've got boxes and boxes of Wellington boots. So you find the Wellington boots of your size because you will need them. And they have all these little flags. So you pick the flag for your country, and then you go off and find your plot, your little square foot.
I have to say, so far, it sounds like the best tour.
It was good. It was good. Apart from the tasting.
I haven't been there, but it sounds like they have put some thought into it.
So
they've got it down. They've been doing it for long enough.
They have. Yeah. So we crossed the road opposite the distillery, walked out into the field using our little phone GPSs, found our square foots, planked our flag in the middle of it, took some photos. All well and good. And I mean, some people have obviously gone to town. So some of the square foots have got walls around them with little houses and castles and stuff.
Shut up.
No.
Yeah, I bet there's people that put Lego men there.
They're American.
I did not know you could do that. I'd have done that. Yeah. I'd have put a Welsh dragon there, 100%.
Next time, Mike.
Quite interestingly, there's quite a few we saw square feet that have got multiple flags on. So whether they're sharing out the same square foot to different people, I don't know. And there could be all sorts of litigation and court cases going on. Two people turn up at the same time.
The people from the group are from different countries, right? Is that not possible?
But you'd have your own square foot, wouldn't you?
Shouldn't be. Yeah.
So it's per person?
Per person, yeah.
It might be that people have moved stuff around to be awkward. Maybe. There. Maybe. Have they got CCTV on it?
Yeah.
But if not, I don't need to bring my own wall. I'm just going to steal someone else's.
I walked through probably six or eight inches of water to get to my square foot, though. So don't go just in your trainers. Use the distillery's wellies because you will need them to get there.
Right. Okay.
Nice. But that was fun. I bought a bottle.
Can I just check, were the wellies fresh smelling or like it's like when you go to go bowling or go karting, you always get these like sweaty helmet or. Sweaty gloves.
It's like someone else's goalie shoes. Gloves. Do you remember that?
Oh, that smell would
be on your hands for
boxing
days.
Boxing glasses are worse because you pick up some gloves and someone else has just been literally, they've been sweating buckets in them. And
They were okay.
All right.
But yeah, it's one of them things. If you're a Lafroig fan and you go to a distillery and you've got a square foot, you've got to go and visit it. So that was good. So, you know, the tour around the distillery was good. The friends bit, going to find your square foot, was good. Just the warehouse bit was a little bit disappointing.
So then you had your sandwiches, and I'm going to take a wild guess that you went down the road taking in Lagavulin and Ardbeg.
No, we didn't.
Well, I'm going to hang on, Mike. Oh. What does Brian have in his sandwiches? Have a wee guess. What kind of sandwich man is he? I'm going to go
sausage, cheese
and pickle.
It was ham and cheese and pickle.
Oh, it was close. No, you're Brian, Mike.
Not
no, you're
sausage
Brian.
In sight.
So yeah, ham and cheese and pickle sandwiches in the taxi as Colin was taking us around. Now Colin actually on the way to where we're going, our next distillery was Buchladdich.
You went to Buchladdich,
and Colin took us past Port Ellen, which at that stage was still in the process of being rebuilt.
Yeah.
So that was quite interesting to go and see that. Stood out on the shore and got a picture with the Port Ellen sign on the warehouse behind us.
I had a wander through there when I went years back, probably, I think it was 2016, and literally just walked around the whole site. Oh, what are you opening up there?
You know what it is. It's what you gave me a sample of. Beautiful.
That was the worst pop ever.
It's a tiny bottle. Do you want to hear a popper pop?
That was worse.
That's not a pop at all.
That was a lot
like a little mouse.
That's because it's probably because of how it's coming through the speaker. It sounds fine to me, right? Okay.
Yeah. So certainly number four for us was Buchladdich.
Nice,
really good, really interesting tour. Obviously, it reminded me a lot of Springbank, sort of very old fashioned, all manual, chalk boards where people were writing on what was going on, not a computer to be seen. A really old Vickers bobbin mill to. To grind the barley and everything. That was really, really good. Went into the warehouse for the tasting. Very interesting setup. So I think there was about 12 of us on the tasting. We sat around little tables. There was some casks there, and we were invited to go and take some of the whiskey out of the cask, fill everybody's glass up, have a taste of that. And I think we tried about three or four together.
It sounds to me like it's quite a juxtaposition between the incredibly modern marketing of Buchladdich and the old school processes and the experience when you go there.
Very, very different, yes.
Right, that's interesting.
I was going to say, the shop, as I remember, it was uber modern, had loads of like funky stuff going on. It was like going into some Shoreditch warehouse store.
Yes, it was. Yes, that's right.
So complete opposite to what happens on the other side.
Yeah. And then when you walk around the distillery, the other thing that really jumped out to me I'd not seen before was the The stills had been, I don't know, painted or lacquered, but they were black. They weren't right. Copper.
Like, oh, really? Goth-esque.
Yeah. So very, very, very strange. Not seen that before.
Yeah. Disperse the heat quicker, maybe?
I don't know what the reason is. But,
black, really black like absorbs the sunlight, doesn't it? It like brings heat
in.
Yeah,
it cools down quicker.
Yeah, yeah, it does. Whereas white reflects heat and doesn't cool down quicker. I don't know.
Yeah. If you want to cool down, wear a black t-shirt.
Okay. It's like, is that the same as like they say drink a cup of tea rather than drink a cold drink?
Yeah.
Yeah, same logic. Could okay.
Be. But yeah, we got to try a Brugladdich, a Port Charlotte, an Optimore. I think we tried two Optimores in the end.
Mm, decent.
Straight out of the cask, all wine cask finished.
Oh, nice.
It's typical for Optimore. For Brugladdich.
The only Optimores I've ever tried have been on Blind Drams.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
We tried two on Blind Drams. And every time we try it, I'm
underwhelmed.
I'm slightly underwhelmed, but I'm always at the end just blown away by the fact I got to try one. Because it's not the kind of thing I go spend 140.
Oh, no,
they are expensive.
Yeah. But the germaline note on that one, the last one, it was crazy. Like to be fair, it was unique in taste. And
yeah, I could not get that out of my head. Once you said it. Germany. On the Zoom call, I was like, bastard, that's there.
Yeah.
Yes.
So what were these drams like that they gave you then? Were they good? Like, was it a good Octomore and a Port Charlotte? Was it good value?
Yeah. Again, I think the tour was around about £50. So you're paying whatever, £12-13 for a dram. As usual with these things, they're a good measure because we were doing it ourselves. And
honesty box,
mega pint.
You actually got a little sort of gift box as you went on the tour, and in the gift box was a branded glass and three little sample bottles. They called these driver's bottles, so you could fill them up if you're driving.
That's nice.
So obviously everybody filled them up
as well,
and filled up their glasses. Yeah,
yeah, yeah,
yeah.
I guess it's part of it. So a £12.
I wonder how many of those bottles get dropped into the casks and are there when they empty them. I wonder.
Mike, are you divulging something to us then? No? Okay, all right.
They were you know, top dollar drams, 14, 16 year old.
Okay. So you've gone, it's good. In the morning, you've gone to
Lefroig.
In the afternoon, Brugladdich, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the day done.
That's our day done, yes. Yeah. So then Colin picked us up. We were a little bit worse for wear after that one, to be honest.
That's what we love to hear. We'd love to hear it.
Yeah. I think actually three of us were still drinking our drams in the taxi on the way back to the Airbnb.
Obviously, is that when you said John got naked and wouldn't get off the bonnet of the car?
That's the one, yes.
Yeah.
I'll send you the photo. I'll send you the photo later.
Plastic cups, not glass, because obviously that's dangerous.
Very dangerous.
Yeah. It's a weird like howling noise. Whoo, as it was going on.
but really good, yeah. So obviously, you know, we missed out Ardbeg, we missed out
Lager,
we missed out Kilhoman, but no great loss. The other one I would have liked to get to. If you go into Islay and you've got more than 2 days on the island like we had, get yourself on the ferry across the Jura and go and see Jura.
And only drink the 21.
Well, and only drink something that's more than 46%.
Yeah.
For me. Yeah. One of my favourite drams early in my whisky journey was a peated Jura called Prophecy at 46%.
I'm a big fan of Prophecy as well.
Huge,
and Superstition.
Huge dram. Absolutely fantastic.
I'm a fan.
If you find any Jura that's more than 46%, hasn't been chill filled, it's going to be good. If you can find a single cask or something that's older, it's going to be great. And I'm sure if you go to the distillery and do a warehouse tour, you will get some amazing drams.
I told you I did have to put an apology out to say, you did one. I hate Jura. Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah,
you did one. So,
just say it. So, yeah, that 21 Tide was outstanding. So stunning dram.
You day one, you hit two distilleries. Day two, you hit two more distilleries. And that's like, it was like a mini trip, right? You didn't
day one was getting there. You know,
right, okay. It took so us that's to travel on the ferry.
That's right. So we drove up from sort of Southport where Max and John and Andy are. We got up to, they came and picked me up on the way up. We went up through Glasgow, then you're basically three quarters of the way to Campbelltown to get to the ferry.
I was going
to
say, it's very popular now to go to Campbelltown on the way back, isn't it?
Yeah, it's probably an extra hour on your journey to get to Campbelltown.
You know,
if you've got the time, you can make a week of it and do both, and that would be amazing.
Yeah.
So we didn't. It was a day to get up there. We met Mark from Germany, Fundamental Drams.
Yeah.
At the ferry port. We got the ferry across to Ireland. That was great fun. Seeing Isla appear through the mist and the rain and the shit as we got there. By the time we got to our Airbnb, it was probably about 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So we did then drive down to the distilleries we knew we weren't going to, Ardbeg and so on, and had a quick look in the shop. I bought a branded glass from each one, as I do, took the photos and everything, but didn't do the tours.
Yeah.
Because obviously we were driving.
Then
we did the 2 days of tours where we had the taxi taking us around. And then the fourth day was obviously driving home, which was the best part of the day again.
Mm.
Yeah. So it's 4 days basically away from home.
But you've shown that it's possible to go there on a mini break in like 4 days, hit up four of your favourite Isla distilleries. And have a great time with your mates, enjoy the sights, have some Chinese, make your own sandwiches, come home. So what would you say?
2 days.
Yeah. I'm not going to ask you what your favourite one is of the four, but is there any other tips that you wanted to share from your trip?
I think the things I've probably already said is, it's key to book your ferry, book your accommodation, book your taxi. That's really key.
Yeah. So get that where you're going.
Do a bit of research, have a look at what tours the distilleries have got, what times they are, and try and book them.
And find your local bus times, because we had a bus from right outside Beaumont Town, took us over to, I want to say, Lager or Lefroy, and then we walked the whole way to Ardbeg and stuff.
How far was that, Mike?
It's a fair track. I did Ardbeg on the third day on my own. I think I was there. I had the morning to myself.
Yeah.
So I went up to Ardbeg and then literally just went off tracking. Just went to the distillery, and just found
the island is absolutely amazing. I mean, some of the videos that Dave Brody posts each day of when he's out walking
beautiful
the dog,
with his dogs.
It's gorgeous. If you can go for a week or a fortnight, it will be absolutely gorgeous. You would love it.
Blind Jake McScroggins is probably one of the most famous dogs on Whiskey Twitter.
I think that the thing about buses is, you go at the weekend, there's no buses on a Sunday.
Yeah.
But even if you got a bus from, if you want to visit Boona Harbour, for example, the bus will take you to the end of the road. You've then got a 4 mile walk to the distillery.
Yeah.
Mm.
And the weather on Isla changes, in a minute. And you could easily be walking 4 miles in pissing down.
And you get to just look at Kalila.
Yeah.
Just going, please, come on, just gates, industrial gates. You are not coming anywhere near this.
Not welcome.
It's like a government
secret facility.
It's Disney Town, isn't it? It's Johnny Walker.
Yeah, but it's good stuff.
Yeah, it is really good stuff. And that's what I've got in my glass now. Mike gave me 200 mils of the Woodrose.
The Woodies, yeah.
Yeah, 10-year-old Paolo Cotardo Kalila.
Okay.
It's very good. Very, very good. What about Dram 2?
Dram 3. Dram 2.
We haven't done notes for Dram 2.
We should do some notes for it.
Okay, do Dram 2 then.
It's Desperate Dan bars. Do you remember them? Orange sort of like chew bar.
It's funny you should say orange, because I've put down, I said vibrant, younger, peat, brine, pears, malty, milk chocolate digestives, furniture polish, lavender, floral.
Is this not your shopping list?
No, well, I just scribble the notes down as I'm going. I did it whilst I was reading stories to my daughter and stuff.
Once upon a time in Lavenderland, a man was polishing his boots.
And then little Timmy, Daddy, is that whiskey? Yes, it is whiskey. Yes. Daddy, you like whiskey?
I get lots of tropical fruit on this one. There's a little bit of salinity, not as much as the first one. And again, gentle peat smoke. There isn't as much, again, as the first one. Some lovely spice on this, though. Quite sort of cinnamon, nutmeggy.
Yeah. I get orange, really cheap oranges, the proper concentrated stuff. Tesco Value range. That's what we're talking. That, like, sort of really acidic orange. And then apple chew-its. Do you remember the, like, apple chew-its?
Yeah. I just found that I think it's the kind of thing where you just get a lot of different stuff. Like, it's quite complex.
So much going on.
Yeah. What about the palate?
Same. Literally everything. I put citrusy
pears, honey, peat smoke, brine. That's just kind of sort of ballpark what I kind of get. Similar on the finish. And then I just wrote down Bowmore. That was it, really.
Bowmore, spot on. This is a Bowmore bourbon cask.
54. Yeah, I wrote Burbs cask. Yep. Lovely. That was really lovely, that one. How old was it, Brian?
This was a 12-year-old.
I had it down slightly younger than that, but it's very good. Maybe not because of the amount of taste, just because it's so gentle, mm-hmm. you know.
It's nice.
So what about Dram C then?
Dram C.
Let's go.
Dram C, by the way, I thought is banging.
Well, you got a choice of two because you know which distilleries I went to.
Yeah, I'm gonna guess Laphroaig again.
Brookladdick.
but I guess it's gonna be Brookladdick because you're so annoyed that you didn't buy anything from Laphroaig, knowing you. So, but I said on the nose, this is quite specific. So it's like when you barbecue like fresh seafood, specifically when we go to Serbia, sometimes you're going on these like river tours and you go in the river and then you'll eat at a seafood restaurant by the river. And there's this like general smell of all this kind of grilled fish that they're doing. Mm. And I kind of got that quite a lot on the nose. And I put down also seaweed, mussels, pink wafer biscuits. Yeah, salty. It's very good. And then the palate was kind of creamy, cooked fish, gentle peat, lemon citrus, orchard fruits. I got a lot of diluted orange squash.
White fish and lemon is what I was going with.
Yeah,
lemon citrus is said that.
That's a Brookladdick all day long.
There you go, Brookladdick then. Is it?
Yeah. Right? Yeah, that's good, Mike. What kind of Brookladdick? If it is.
I mean, I guessed before I knew which one you'd been to be fair, so but I don't mind losing. It's fine. Mike's doing a really thoughtful look.
Go on, what do you
He's looking out the corner of his eye. Like he's remembering the time he was there.
No, he's scanning my blog looking for...
What, on the ceiling?
Yeah. I've
always, he's got a screaming ceiling.
I lie back.
You don't want to see what the mess on that
Just for the glory shot, just to finish off, I always look up and look at your blog.
That's what he does. He can't sleep unless he's reading your blog. So he has it running on a screen on the ceiling. He just reads.
Okay, this is a 10-year-old, 48.8%. Optimal.
Do you know what? That's fascinating. That's because I haven't tried enough Optimal.
It just doesn't taste like it, does it? It tastes like a Port
what
Charlotte.
What do they taste like? I think.
This is what I'm always mean. I always like. It's obviously supposed to be super smoked Optimal. The
it's
beast.
So gentle.
Again, gentle nose.
So
the,
gentle.
The smoke is there but on Mike, the palate, but that is just lovely.
We had that with that. That germline one.
Gorgeous.
Do you remember?
Fresh.
That was gentle. Yeah. This one's just white fish.
No germline.
No. But the point is they were both gentle, even though they were both really out there with tasting notes. This one is exceptional. Like.
Yeah. That's hands down my favourite of the three.
Excellent.
Yeah. Thank you hands so much down. For sharing that. Beautiful.
That's right. You're welcome, boys. That's what whiskey's for.
Look, I think, because we may not get you on the pod again, well, hopefully we do, but, you know, so popular now, so many people queuing up to come on, crazy.
My Nan.
Yeah, My Nan. Well, not
one
my
of
nan.
Duncan's dead granddads.
Yeah.
Via a medium.
the seance pod's going to be, it's going to be box office. So we should do, what three whiskies would you put behind... So when you go into a local and it's a bit rubbish, you're like, wow, what are they doing?
Let me put a caveat on it before you even say it.
No Loch Lomond.
No Scotia.
No Scotia.
I'd turn around and walk out.
let's say you're allowed one.
No, that's right. My local pub that I go into most often has maybe 50 whiskies behind
the bar. That doesn't count. That must be pretty good then.
Well, but it's my local pub.
Right.
But do you always have the same dram?
No, I don't. I've been through everything they've had.
Of course.
They don't Drink have any Loch Lomond. They don't have any Glen Scotia. It's all standard stuff. Like they'll
it's like all the 10s and 12s. And
yeah, they've got all the Johnny Walker. They've got Cardew. They've got Aberlour. They've got all the standard stuff. So there's a few interesting ones. They've got Brookladdick, Classic Laddie.
So you are kind of the same position. If you could get them to add three whiskies behind the bar that you feel people should try, what would you get them to add?
For me, if I went into a bar that didn't have anything, I would say stick a Glen Scotia 15 behind the bar. Okay. Typical Campbelltown mould. With some salinity, and it's just glorious, fantastic whiskey. Yeah.
£65 RRP, so it's not world ending,
pretty,
is it?
Pretty reasonable. I would go then with something like the Balvenie Week of Peat.
Yeah.
Yes.
14 or 17.
Yep. 14-year-old. 14-year-old is reasonably priced.
It's very gentle as well, isn't it?
It is very, quite gentle. It's just really tasty. It's a really complex dram that you can sit and take your time over and really enjoy. Really good.
It does kind of indicate what they could do at the cheaper range if they wanted to expand
into that.
That's right.
You know, rather than go for something like a Laphroaig or a Lagavulin that's, you know, going to blow your head off with a peat smoke. Just something gentle that
can bring more people
interested. Exactly. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
That's
right. So what you're saying is space IP. We've been on an Isla. We've been on an Isla. It's about road tripping to Isla, and now we're recommending space IP.
Yeah. And what's your third one? Are we talking top shelf? What are you going?
No. I'd keep it fairly simple and fairly cheap. And again, if you for something that's a little bit different from your usual stuff, I'd probably go with a Kalila 12-year-old, whatever the bog standard one is.
It's about 50 quid in supermarkets these days.
But it's a little bit different. You know, there's load of salinity in the air, there's a load of peat smoke in there, and it's just an interesting dram that's a bit different from what people would normally drink.
Like it.
And for me, that's what whiskey's about. Try something you've never tried before. You might like it, you might not. Soren was talking the other week about bourbons and how he's got into bourbons.
Yep.
A few years ago, I was really into bourbon, bought loads of the stuff and tried a few. My palate's changed a little bit since then. I've sort of gone off it a little bit. But if you don't try it, you're never going to know whether you like it or not.
And to be fair, palates do change over time.
They do.
It happens. Do. So, you know, what you can be into one time, you're not, you know, in 2 years, 3 years, it's changed completely. All right, so you'd have Kalila 12, Balvenie Week of Peat 14, and Glen Scotia 15.
Scotia 15, yeah.
Well, that's an interesting selection. Thanks for sharing that. Yeah.
Be really happy if you walked into a bar with those three.
You would.
You would be, yeah. I'd go for Glen Scotia 15, probably, I think.
Start with that one.
Yeah, definitely. Well, thanks so much for coming on today to talk about your Isla road trip and give some tips.
Yep.
Much appreciated.
We've gone easy on the spreadsheet, but we do need to direct people, obviously, to your website. So do you want to give out a shout out for your details, where they can find you?
Thanks for having me on, my lads. I really enjoyed it. Obviously, huge fan of the podcast. So I listen to it on my commute on a Sunday evening.
Hence why Brian's always pressuring us to get it out.
Get it out
Sunday.
On time, yeah. Otherwise,
we'd be chilled.
I've got three hours on a Sunday with nothing to listen to.
We'd be about five episodes less if it wasn't for Brian, I think.
That's right. I do a spreadsheet that records all the whiskies I've ever drunk, and it does all some useful stats and stuff. Lots of people have used it to record their whiskies. Libby's a big fan, so she was on the Inverary Whiskey Blabber, I think they call it, last week, talking about it there. There's about 500 or 600 people use it now.
That's amazing. Really? So 500 to 600 people are using your whiskey spreadsheet.
Yeah.
I feel like for me, is even if I said, okay, hands up, I feel like I should be using a spreadsheet. It's too late for me now. I'm thousands of drams in. I can't start using a spreadsheet now.
You can start because it will start recording from now.
No, but then...
Give it a go. Anyway, if people are interested, just, you know, I'm Malt Musings on Twitter or Instagram. Find me, send me a message, and I'll send you a link. It don't cost anything.
What's the website?
Oh, Malt Musings on Blogger. Just find me on Twitter. There's a link on there.
It's right, because we'll put a link to your profile and the blog in, which we've probably already done before, but we'll put them in this episode.
Thank you. Yeah, so, I mean, I review whiskies. I'm obviously a huge fanboy of Loch Lomond, Glen Scotia, and Baines, and probably Glasgow's my number four. But I'm quite independent. I don't get free samples off many distilleries, not from them four anyway.
What's interesting about your stuff, though, Brian, is you'll go into more information about how it's put together, the whisky, and also you don't really go into scoring. You'll give like an opinion, tasting notes, and you'll usually try like two or three kind of together and kind of discuss the kind of differences.
Compare
so
that's
I feel
right,
like you have a different angle to some other
thank
blogs.
You for that. I mean, I do score my whiskies, I just don't publish them. You know, I score them for myself, because everybody's palate's different. Everybody likes different things. I'll just tell you what notes I get from it, and that, you know, may persuade you to buy a bottle or something. But
it's not too late for us to ask you, what is it about your obsession with licking toes and the old... so we've got to ask you, because
it's not my obsession. So
in blind drams, if you score a dram of 5
out of 5... Why did you ask me to send you pictures of my feet then?
Yeah. To be fair, Mike, you're not the first person he's asked for pictures of your feet, right? This is an ongoing thing now. I mean, 10, 11 people have said...
Every time he sends me samples, they come in a crock. That's all I'm saying.
So let me tell you about this. This wasn't from me. I actually stole my scoring system
from
a guy called Tom.
And this is the 0 to 5.
So we score our whiskey 0 to 5, which is basically 0 says I'd smile graciously if given a bottle of this, and then promptly deliver it to the local primary school charity raffle.
Yeah. Okay. Lag. It's Lag not good. Handful.
It's not good. Don't drink it. Score 1. I'd drink it if given to me as a gift, but I wouldn't waste my own money on it. So yeah, it's okay. Nice to try. Thank you very much, but I'm not going to buy anything.
Not for you, yeah.
Number 2, at a decent price, I'd buy a glass of this, but I wouldn't buy a whole bottle.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's okay. But, you know, my money's limited. What I'm going to buy isn't going to be that. Number 3, this is sort of in the middle here. You know, damn drinkable. If it's within my price range, and most people know I have a £100 limit on a bottle. Yeah. If it's within my price range, I'll happily buy a bottle and enjoy it, because it's a good dram. Number 4, I'll be over the moon if you give me a bottle of this, and I'll probably drink it fairly quickly.
Yeah.
Number 5, I'd suck the sweaty toes of a senior brand executive for the opportunity to have a single drop more of this.
Yeah.
So that's a really special dram.
And it's funny you say that, because Gary Mills is coming on soon, and I think he likes a bit of toe action. So it's...
he hasn't got any fucking left after Brian's been there.
He's like, Brian, get off my toes. Get away from them.
So of my 2,500 drams that I've tried...
2,936?
Yeah. How many have I scored? A 5?
Is it 46?
46.
I've scored 50 with a 5.
Bloody hell, that's good.
That is good.
They've got to be bloody good. Yeah.
1.7% you scored as a 5.
There you go.
I'm like 0.4?
You just guessed it out of thin air. I'm just doing my head.
That looks roughly about 0.4.
Finger in the air. All right. Well, that's like, well, look, I mean, it's contentious scoring, but everyone sticks to it and enjoys it, and everyone enjoys blind drams. So thank you very much for coming on the pod. Follow Brian.
Pleasure. Thank
Check
you for having me.
You're welcome.
Thanks for coming on, Bri. As always, follow us in the usual place at honestormalt.com, at honestormalt on Twitter, X, Instagram, and everything else. I'm on at Whiskey Wings, and Duncan is on at Whiskey Tip, and we will see you on the next one. Bye-bye-bye.